Romans, the 7th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the 7th verse, Romans 7, verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We'll stop reading there. We're certainly not going to cover all that ground this morning, but continuing in our study in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, let's once again go to the Lord in prayer. Ryan, would you pray for us? Yes.
Lord, your many mercies and blessings to us. We pray this morning, Father, that you would instruct us by your word, by your word, by your spirit. Enable us, Lord, to be doers of your word, to go forth and be lights in this world.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. You may be seated. So, if you came this morning thinking that you were going to hear just a Mother's Day message, most of you knew that wouldn't be the case, but I'll give you a little bit of a Mother's Day message. My message this morning, and I could leave it just at this, okay? Happy Mother's Day, by the way. But my message this morning is to mothers and to those who have had one. So that's part of, I guess, what I would say to all of us in regards to Mother's Day. I did see a bumper sticker Friday. It was kind of funny in a way, but then it's tragic and sad in another. I was coming out of Huntsville, heading back this way, and this little car was in front of me, and on the back of it, it said this, Anna, Mama tried. I can try. Mama can try. But unless God gets a hold of you, our trying's not going to be worth a whole lot. So it made me think of, if the person, you can imagine different people, the reason they would put that on the back of their car. I'm going to make an assumption here. I don't know the person. Okay, may not be true about them. But I'm going to make an assumption that the reason for that bumper sticker is that Mama tried to raise me right, but it didn't stick. You know, and it made me think of Proverbs 13, verse 15, which says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor, anybody, is what? You know that verse? It's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. You've probably heard that before, haven't you? You've heard the way of the transgressor is hard. What's a transgressor? Well, that's somebody that's disobedient, somebody that's rebellious. I mean, we're talking about raising kids. We tried to raise our kids, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, to respect authority. It's hard for the person that's the rebel. It's hard for the person that's going to buck authority at every turn. It's hard for the kid that's going to try to go against what her mama says or his mama says. It's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. But like I said, mama can try all she wants to, but apart from being born again. And those are the things that we've been looking at in these past verses, past chapters, being born again, being born anew. And, you know, apart from that, having last week, having newness of spirit, which is having the Spirit of God, having new life, being a new creature in Christ, having a new nature, apart from having newness of spirit by the power of God, the only things that our mamas can give us, really, I mean, they pray for us. I remember one of the pastors of this church, when I was younger, he said, my mama never did live to see me converted. but she prayed for me all the time. And I said, well, the Lord heard, you know, her prayers, and they didn't go unanswered, you know, even though it was after her death. But, you know, our moms can give us our first birth, but the second birth has to come from above. That has to come from God. And I pray, as you all do, I'm sure, that our families, our neighbors, our friends, that they would come to know this life that there is to be had in Christ. But all of us are either in the flesh or we're in the spirit. And that's some of what we were talking about last week. And if we were to try to take, and if I had a blackboard up here, which we've got a huge one back there in that room, but and I had two columns, and I had one over here that said in the spirit, and I had one over here that said in the flesh. Everybody is in one of those two categories. Either you're in the spirit in Christ, except you have the spirit of Christ, you're not his. Okay, except you're in the spirit, born from above, born again, even as the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he wanted to know how he was going to enter into his mother's womb a second time. And the Lord said, you're a teacher in Israel, and you don't understand what I'm saying. So we're either in the spirit, we're either in Christ, we're born from above, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God, or we're outside of Christ in the flesh. So we have those two columns, and as we looked last week at verse number 6, it talked about the oldness of the letter. It talked about the newness of the spirit and the oldness of the letter. Still the same two categories that we're dealing with here. If we're in the flesh, we're just in the old life, the life that we were born into, the life that we have by nature apart from God. If we're in the spirit, we have a new life. I mean, what was the first words we looked at last week in verse number 6? First two words are what? But now. There's been a change. If we're in Christ, there's a change. There's a newness of life. Under the old life in the flesh, we were under sin. In Christ, we're under grace. We've seen those things through chapter 6, chapter 5, even in chapter 7. In the flesh, carnal. Everything's carnal. Our whole lives are built around the carnal. Our desires are for the carnal. But in Christ, here we are in the spirit. There's a spiritual life. But now, it's the but now. Before, it was the outward. We talked about that a little bit already this morning, and the question about the temple and it being destroyed, the tabernacle there in Jerusalem being destroyed. But there's the outward and there's the inward. If you're in the flesh, it's only outward. If you're in the spirit, it's inward. There's life within. And so the Ten Commandments or the law of God, the commandments of God that are written in God's Word, not just in the Decalogue, not just in the Ten Commandments, over here they're just written on the outside. It's the oldness of the letter. It's just a printed page. Over here in Christ, it's written inside. It's written upon the heart. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Written upon fleshly tables of the heart. So there's life within over here where there's no life, and it's all outward over there. Over here, we're self-sufficient. Over here, we're God-dependent. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, as to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I'm not sufficient to do this that I'm doing this morning. You're not sufficient to do what you're doing this morning. What am I doing? I'm trying to proclaim the gospel. What are you doing? You're trying to hear the gospel. We're not sufficient in and of ourselves with our natural ear, with the ear that we were born with, to be able to do that. I'm not sufficient with my mouth to be able to do that and speak that to you. If you're going to understand that, and if it's going to be life unto you, it's going to be because you have newness of life by Christ. You have faith. You have the new birth. Over here's death. Over here's life. Over here's condemnation. Over here's justification and sanctification. And we're going to keep these two columns as we go through. I'll refer to them at one time or another. Over here, like we said last week, is demand. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt. Over here, it's supply. Here we're commanded to do this, and we're given grace, we're given strength. You know, what did Paul say about that thorn in the flesh? He wanted it removed. He prayed 3 times that it might be. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. And so, therefore, Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, where? When I'm weak in myself and know that my sufficiency comes from God. And I'm strong in Him. I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm strong in the power of His might. Over here, bondage. In the flesh. Over here, liberty in Christ. Over here, the old covenant. Over here, the new covenant. So listen to what Hebrews 8:7 says in regards to that last thing in the old and the new. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the old covenant or the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put what? My laws? Where? Into their mind? Into their mind and write them upon their hearts? I mean, we're talking about the very core of your being. We're talking about the center of your personality, that God writes these things there. That it's not just something you're looking on the outside and saying, okay, I'm not supposed to do that, or I'm supposed to do that. No, it's inside saying, do this and live. Walk this way. Follow me. You know, walk in the path that I have led you in. Walk in the path of righteousness, and the righteousness is within us. We hunger and thirst after it, right? Scripture says that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You realize everybody out there doesn't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Most of the world around us does not hunger and thirst after righteousness. But God's people, because of the life that God has given that's within them, they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. What does it go on to say? For they shall what? Anybody? Somebody said something. I heard somebody mumble something. What was it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I knew somebody said something. Did you say it? I didn't hear you? Okay. They shall be filled. God's going to fill us with the very thing he's given us a desire for. You desire righteousness? I mean, don't you look forward to, I know I say this all the time, but don't you look forward to the day when we're in heaven and there is no more sin? Don't you look forward to the day when we're in heaven and it's a place where righteousness only dwells? Yes, I hunger and thirst after that. I want it here and now, but I long for the day when that's where there'll only be that. There won't be any sin. There'll only be righteousness. So, like we said, in the flesh, laws without. In the spirit, it's written within our hearts. Over here, without, they're trying to conform. For whatever reason, people try to conform to a code of morals and a code of ethics. You know, there's still some rightness, you know, within. It seems like in our day that line's becoming more and more blurred. And people say, well, truth is whatever I say it is. It's not what you say it is. It's whatever truth is to me. And whatever I think is right, not what you say is right. And not what God's word says is right, but what I think is right. So they try to conform to whatever the pattern is on the outside, whether it's the Ten Commandments or it's a moral law, or it's the speed limit, you know, whatever the command is, for whatever reason they do it for, they try to conform to that which is outside. The outside pattern, they try to conform unto it. For us, God is working in you both to will and to do, right, of what? His good pleasure. But you don't miss what it says there. God is working in you. God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Ryan was praying about that earlier. And he was mentioning about us being doers of the word. I mean, that's something that's on his mind, that the Lord's written upon his mind. And he's praying, Lord, for the very thing that the Lord's called us to do, to be doers and not just hearers, he's praying and asking for. And what the Lord's saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'll fill that. I'll fill that request. I got a prescription sitting at the pharmacy right now. They've called me. They've texted me, and I haven't gone to pick it up. It's probably going to go back to stock, and I'll have to get them to fill it again. But here's what the Lord's prescribed for us. And he says, I'll fill it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Didn't say they might be filled, doesn't say they could be filled, doesn't say they should be filled, it said they shall be filled. They will be filled, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So that's Philippians 2:13, by the way, God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What a blessing that is. If that's your heart this morning, to do the will of God, what a blessing that is, that God's put that within you, that is your heart's desire, that you are not content doing otherwise. You can only be content by doing his good pleasure. That's the heart of the Christian. Those in the flesh, they read the law, but they don't truly understand. I mean, Paul's talking about that here in the 7th verse, or through the 14th verse from what we read. He said, I didn't understand covetousness until the law said, thou shalt not covet. I didn't understand the sinfulness of that until the law said that unto me. But you that have the Spirit, listen, Matthew 13:16 says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Over here, you've heard people talk about the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, right? You've heard those phrases before, haven't you? Over here, it's the letter of the law in the flesh. If I'm going to obey the law, it's going to be just what I have to obey. It's not going to be the spirit of the law, it's just the letter of the law. But over here, being in the Spirit, it's the spirit of the law. Where can we find the example of that in Scripture? Here comes the rich young ruler. I've kept all these laws. What do I lack yet that I might have eternal life? And you got the Lord speaking unto the Pharisees and saying, don't murder. Well, we've never killed anybody. If you've hated somebody in your heart, there's murder in the heart. Don't lust after. If you've looked upon and desired, you've lusted after. They were the letter of the law. I have not done those. I haven't committed adultery on the outside. I haven't committed murder on the outside. I haven't done those things. How about the Romans being able to get you to walk a mile carrying their, that was law. If they came up to you and said, okay, you're going to carry my pack for the next mile. By law, you're required. What did the Lord say about that? Go the extra mile. If they say go one, go two. Why? Here's the spirit of the thing as opposed to the letter. This person over here is going to be begrudging that Roman soldier the whole time. He's going to hate every step he takes. He's going to hate every hill he has to climb. He's going to hate every bend in the road, the dust that's coming up from the people walking in front of him. I wouldn't have to be here if it weren't for this Roman soldier. Over here, here's the spirit. And the Lord saying, if they say go one, go two. Why? Be a witness. Be a light. That's the other thing Ryan was praying about. Light. Lord, I might be able to have an opportunity. I mean, what's this guy going to think when he tells me to go 1 mile and I'll go two? He's like, wait a second. You only have to go one. Why are you going two? Well, there's a door that's open for me to be able to speak to him about the why. What's the why? It's Christ. That's the why. Matthew 5:20 says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness, listen, you ever thought about this before? Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise or no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. How is your righteousness going to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? They were considered to be the epitome of righteousness in their day. They were the holy men, the holy people. Why? It was all external. People looked at it and saw the external. It's got to exceed that. It can't just be confined to the external. You've got to have life within. It's the hunger and thirst after righteousness. I mean, yes, it is. If the answer in your mind was this, if you said, well, it's Christ's righteousness that I have. Yes, it's within you. It's that hunger and thirst after righteousness that's put within you because of Christ. That's a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. They're wanting to live by the letter of the law. I fulfilled that. God, I thank you. I'm not like that man over there. You know, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not like that tax collector over there. And God, here the Lord's asking, who went home justified? And it was the man who was saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But this man over here, the letter of the law, he was standing in the external. This one over here, Lord, I'm not even worthy to lift my eyes to heaven. Forgive me. I repent of my sins. Save me. Big difference between the outward and the inward. And this Paul's still talking about, because he's talking about the law. He's talking about covetousness and what the law said unto him about thou shalt not covet. Paul said that the letter of the law was what he was as an unconverted Pharisee. That's what he was living according to. He was living according to the law as an unconverted Pharisee. Living according to the flesh, the letter of the law, there was no principle of new life within. It was all he could do. Try to attain to the letter of the law. He couldn't do anything else. It was all he could do, abiding by the letter of the law. Listen to what he says in Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness of the law, or righteousness which is in the law, he says, blameless. See, that was the idea, the external, blameless. But he says in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, I kind of lost for Christ, because there's life over here. There was death over there. The law cannot justify me. The law cannot sanctify me. If I'm going to be sanctified, it's going to be in the Spirit, not by the law. The law just shows me my need of Christ and shows me how exceedingly sinful sin really is. It's not enough that you don't do things. Thou shalt not. It's not enough that you don't do things. What about the desire? Is there a desire to do those things even though you don't do them? Is that what you would do? If you could get away with it, would you do those things? But you don't do them because you fear whatever. You fear hell. You fear whatever it may be, that you try to not to do those things. But inside your heart, you really want to do those things. Over here, that's not the case for the Christian. I'm not saying the Christian never sins, but over here, he desires righteousness. He hungers and thirsts after it. He wants to please God. That is the end of his life. I mean, the end of everything that he does is, I desire to please God in this relationship. I desire to please God with the money that he's given me. I desire to please God, you know, with the time that he's given me. I desire to please God, you know, with the fellowship that I have with other people and the saints. You know, whatever it is I do, whether I eat or I drink or whatsoever I do all the glory of God. That's the desire that's in the believer. That's not over here in the flesh. In the flesh, if I could get by with not doing it, I don't want to do it. I'm doing it because I'm being told I have to, not because it's in my heart to do it. You see the difference? I mean, think about, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love is the fulfilling of the law. I love the Lord. I love my master. I want to serve him. I want to honor him. I want to obey him. I want to please him. I want to please God in all that I do. You know, over here, that's not the case for this person. He's not really desiring, you know, to do that. The moral man apart from Christ may appear to be righteous on the outside, but what did the Lord say of the Pharisees? Outside, beautiful, whitewashed sepulchers, but inside, full of dead men's bones. That's the difference between these two that we're talking about. What's the motive? Over here, like we said, the motive may be being afraid of God, may be being afraid of hell. It may be because, you know, they have some kind of, you know, pride within, self-gratification. Look what I can do. Look what I've done. I'm an upright person. You know, I'm not in trouble with the law. I've never been to prison. You know, whatever it may be. You know, God, I thank you. I'm not like that man. It's the Pharisee and the publican praying. But in the Spirit, why does the Christian do what he does? Because it's in his heart to do it. It's in his heart to do it. He wants to please God. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ, what? Constraineth us. It constraineth us, not against our will. It is our will. Our will is what God's will is. That's what our will is. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So who are you living for? Because he's defining right here the difference between the persons in the flesh and the persons in the Spirit. Who are you living for? What are you living for? What's the motive? What's the motivation behind what you do? Because if we're a child of God, then it is whether I eat or I drink or whatsoever I do all of the glory of God. There's the motivation. For the person that's not the motivation. It's eat and drink and live, for tomorrow we die. Let me have whatever it is that I have need of, that I want. And he that died... Oh, I'm sorry, that we should henceforth not live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the motive for Christian living is purely to please God. Not to live for ourselves, but Godwards in love and gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us in Christ. That's why you find such scriptures as 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. What does that say? Examine yourselves. That's for all of us to do. Examination is our work. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, thou that Jesus Christ is in you, except or unless you be reprobate. So do we love God? Do we keep his commandments? Is that what's within our hearts? If we're a child of God, it is. Here Paul's being accused of saying that law is evil because you can't obtain righteousness by it. But you can't. You can't obtain righteousness by the law. Righteousness only comes by life in Christ. It's the only way you can get it. So Paul says, I'm not saying the law is evil. The law is good. I mean, the law is the rule of righteousness. Andrew went over to get some tires put on his truck and have his truck aligned this week, and I told him it's right there by it's Firestone, you know, by Home Depot. And I said, well, you can go wander around in Home Depot, and if there's some tools that you need, he works in construction, you might find something that, or you may need to replace something. And he said, well, the only thing I really need is a torpedo level. I need to get a level. You may not know what a torpedo level is, but you know what a level is. A level shows. I mean, you may think the pew that you're sitting in, you may think that it's level, but we may put a level on it and find out that it's not. A person may think that they're righteous, but the law of God, which is righteous and good and holy, will show. I mean, it's like you put the righteous law of God up against a person's life, and this is straight. It's perfect. It's the perfect rule of righteousness. You put it up next to our lives, and our lives are crooked. You know, they're not straight as this is over here. It shows. We may think we're pretty good. And Paul thought he was a good person. Paul thought he had obtained righteousness, but he found out that that wasn't the case. He says in verse number 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So there were. Why does Paul say this here? He's saying this because there were people that were claiming that he was against the law. He wasn't against the law. So he says here, is the law sin? I mean, that's what people are telling me that I'm preaching. That's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the law is sin. He says, God forbid. But he says this about the law. He says, the law stirs up. The law aggravates. We talked about this, excuse me, last week. But here's the thing. The work of the law is to show sin. The work of the law is not to establish righteousness. The work of the law is to show that we're under the condemnation of God because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The law does not deliver. The law leaves us in a state of hopelessness apart from Christ. We have no hope apart from Christ. This is what Paul is describing to us. We're not made holy by the law. We're made holy by the Spirit of God. We're sanctified. The Spirit of God within us saying, be holy. And we're saying, yes, Lord, I want to be holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. Yes, Lord, I want to be holy as you are holy. That's within my heart. I want to be that. So that we get into verse number 25, and Paul says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So in the flesh, the motions of sin, the law stirs them up, aggravates the condition. It can't bring forth fruit unto righteousness or unto life. It brings forth fruit unto death. But when we're given life in Christ, and it's written within our hearts, not just an external thing, then we see that could never have made me righteous. I never could have made it. I never could have established myself before God and stood before God based upon the law because I've broken it. I have to stand in Christ by the grace of God. So the law told Paul about coveting and that to covet is as sinful as to commit. So I haven't stolen something or taken something that belonged to somebody. But he could see the reality of what the law was saying, that it was sinful just to covet it. Not just in the committing, but in the coveting thereof. To desire is as sinful as the deed. You know, that's what the Lord taught us. He taught us that God looks upon the heart. God's not looking upon the outside. We're not being graded by just on what we do on the outside, though we would fail there too. It's what's on the inside. It's what's in our hearts. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Well, guess what? The person in the flesh, it's a burden. It's a burden to try to keep the commands of God. It's a burden. Oh, I've got to do this. I really don't want to do it, but I have to. Kind of an attitude. Whereas in Christ, it's a want to. It's not a have to. It's a want to. It's a desire to. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is this that God calls us unto easy? Because it's the desire that's in our hearts. It's our desire. God's desire for us is our desire unto him. Unto them, it's a yoke upon the neck that they're not able to bear. So in ourselves we cannot. In the Spirit, though, we have new life in Christ. Romans 8:3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," there it is. That's what we've been saying. What the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did in sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh. Another verse of Scripture along those same lines, 2 Corinthians 3:6, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter," not of the letter, "but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Romans 8:13, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So in the Spirit, fruit unto righteousness, there's life. In the flesh, fruit unto death. Here's what's happening for you and me in the Spirit. We sang about it already this morning. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." We're not what we were. We're not what we shall be, but we're not what we were. We're changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Did you hear that in the hymn this morning? Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and grace. So, our being changed, it's him that's doing it. He's changing us. He's begun a good work in us. We see that in Scripture, right? He shall also complete it. It's begun in us, and it's being completed. You know, we all looked in the mirror this morning, likely. Anybody here not look in the mirror this morning? Isaac, Isaiah, did John not look in the mirror today? You looked in the mirror, yes? Anna, Lydia, look in the mirror this morning? Anybody not look in the mirror? We all did, didn't we? Over the years, I see a different face than I saw when I was Isaac and Isaiah's age. I'm changing. You know, I got taller, certainly that was a change. You know, I've grown older. I've gotten gray hairs that I didn't have years ago. I have aches and pains that I didn't have. I've changed outwardly. There's been a change. But all that while being in Christ, there's a change that's been happening on the inside. Though the outward man perish, anybody finish that? The inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. Changed from glory into glory. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it." Who's going to perform it? It's not that it's up to me. I'm not saying it's not my desire. We established that. But he's the one. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's able to perform it. That's not enough, though. Not just enough that he's able to perform it. He's willing to. He's able to keep us. He's promised to keep us. So you see what Paul's been showing us here about those in the flesh and those in the Spirit. And that this is all external. Over here, it's internal. It makes all the difference. He said that all this over here that I counted as gain, I counted as loss, that I might gain Christ, that I might win Christ. All right, well, like I said, we didn't get very far in this section, but we'll, Lord willing, take it up again next week. I know you may not have planned to stay and eat, but if you can, you're more than welcome. Hope that you can, if you desire to, if you're able to, do so. Please do stay. I know y'all didn't know anything about us having a lunch together. We eat together every Sunday. So if you can stay, please do. If not, we understand. No pressure, you know, there whatsoever. But let's stand. Let's go once again to the Lord in prayer. How grateful we ought to be to God for the change from glory into glory. What God has done within us, what God has done for us in Christ. All right.